This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday the 29th of May 2026 and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I have a little bit of a scratchy throat this morning. I'm not sick. I was just up all night helping some raccoons learn how to parallel park. It turns out it is a skill that they're very interested in. I don't know why. Maybe they see that Bahamians are having a hard time driving and they're looking to fill a gap, a service gap in the country. This first segment of the show is brought to you by the car that flew over the graveyard wall at St. Anne's Church. Does anybody have a picture? Does anybody have a picture of the car that flew over the graveyard wall yesterday afternoon? Anyway, we're going to get into more interesting traffic stories as we talk about the budget, what has been revealed so far. Somebody sent me, I think, a copy of what looks like a 872-page document. That's what it looked like when I first looked at it. Maybe my eyes were... But I'm going to need to take at least a weekend to delve through it. What concerned me after looking through the last 2 days of articles was a lack of information about the budgeting for road traffic, not Ministry of Transport, but Royal Bahamas Police Force. We're going to get into that in a moment. I want to take a moment, though, for a little housekeeping. There are a lot of very interesting events taking place over the weekend. But before we get there, I want to say, just take a small moment to acknowledge, recognize that the staff at the Guardian building is closed today, except for broadcast, because the Guardian family is currently on its way, or at, I think, Bahamas Harvest Church, to celebrate the life of Ms. Anita Roll, who was a, and still is, a treasured part of the Guardian family, and also a part of the healthcare services community. And so I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge, to recognize, and to extend condolences to the friends, family, and colleagues of Miss Anita Roll. If you know Ms. Roll, then today and this weekend, wear shades of pink. If you have an opportunity to get in your car right now and head out to Bahamas Harvest Church for the service, the family has asked that people wear shades of pink in celebration of her life and the contributions she's made to the country and to her various communities. Now, things to do this weekend. Last night, I went to the opening of a show at National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. I want to take this time to tell you about it because the show is going to be up, I think, for an entire year through May 2027. It is called The Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves. It was curated by Letitia Marie Pratt, and it is a celebration of the life and work of Patricia Glinton McCullis. Patricia Glinton McCullis. So you have to take an opportunity to go out. Take any you have to go out and see the show. See it twice, three times, four times. Everybody should go and see this show. The Garland Woman focuses on how... Let me start at the beginning. Born in Port Howe, Patricia Glinton McCullis was entrenched in the origins of folk culture since an early age and witnessed the elders in her community participate in what was natural to them, straw making, storytelling, and the idiosyncratic ways Bahamian people create art and interact with each other. This rich childhood sparked a lifelong passion for heritage and folk research, earning her the title of the Garland Woman, an affectionate moniker given by her husband, P. Nico McCullis, because of her life's work and her dedication to preserving Bahamian creative culture in all the ways that she can. The Garland Woman focuses on how this ideology led her to become a chief patroness of the visual arts, a fact exemplified in her engagement with the art community in the first books that she published in the 90s, Bahamian Art 1492 to 1992, and An Evening in Guanima 1993. Quote, artists play many important roles in society, not the least of which are providing insights into the human condition and giving form to the collective vision. If you're taking part in Transforming Spaces this weekend, that's the art tour. I think it's six buses, six museums. The museum list may have grown, but there are going to be lots of people on the art tour this weekend, and National Art Gallery of the Bahamas is one of those stops. If you're not on the Transforming Spaces tour, or if you are and you have an opportunity, please visit Ponciana Paper Press. That's number 12 Parkgate Road tomorrow, Saturday. The art show polling stationery is still up. One show, two exhibitions, including Propaganda by the Guy Fawkes Party Press and the Equality Bahamas' exhibition for the Feminist Standards for Governance workshop series. Those are taking place, or those are available for viewing this Saturday as well. All right, so that's a very interesting text. The text says, can someone please tell me why there are a group of Haitian migrants paving the roads in Golden Gates off Malcolm Road? Not saying they're illegal, just wondering why the majority of workmen aren't Bahamian. That's right. Like, I appreciate that question. Why the majority of workmen aren't Bahamian, right? Is it structural? Is it fiscal? Is it economic, right? Is it social or cultural? Have Bahamians not been able to figure out how to organize their labor, right? Like, see, in your own country, you expected to organize your own labor. When you're a migrant working in another country, essentially your labor is organized. That's how you got here. You got here legally through a work permit process. Thank you, Texter. We're talking budget today. What excited you about the budget? What were you disappointed in about the budget? Is this budget realistic? Have you heard any language that convinces you that this is a policy that you can expect in the near future? Is there any language that showed you clearly that you should not hold your breath expecting this policy? I want to tie it directly to traffic, and then we're going to open it up into other spaces referencing some articles in the paper immediately after the election. That's the period of time that we're in now. So, This is your traffic report. Let's call it that for a second. Over the last 48 hours, wait, Tuesday was boat day, today is Friday. So over the last 4 days, I have experienced approximately, say, 4 near head-on collisions. One of them, I was just observing. It's the most recent one. This morning, on my way to work, I observed a open-sided Jeep rented to tourists, filled with tourists, beyond the legal capacity, policies and law, right? Filled beyond capacity, no longer riding with good insurance, right? Because your insurance could be void if they catch you with too many people in the car. Not enough seatbelts for the number of occupants, right? They turned right onto Hay Street from Market Street. Now, the cars had to accommodate them. Why? Because it's a one-way road. And let me tell you how I know in my heart it's a one-way road. Because they put traffic signals at that intersection. You have an arrow that's essentially telling you you can go straight, and you have an arrow that's telling you you could go left. There is no arrow telling you you could go right. Now, you may say, well, you don't need an arrow to go right. If you don't need an arrow to go right, why did they put an arrow to go left? The fact that there's an arrow that goes left but no arrow that goes right should indicate to the driver that no right turn is permitted at that intersection. Now, how does this connect to the budget? Well, I saw a number of stories. I wasn't able to take all of them down because I was at the opening of the Garland Woman last night. Here we go. Let's see some of the headlines. Government announces plan to buy 40 fire trucks in new budget. See, that's Royal Bahamas Police Force talk, right? But no talk of road signage. Now, you may say, but Aaron, that's public works, right? That's public works. But it's the Royal Bahamas Police Force and their data that should prompt the Ministry of Works to produce more road signs. Then, with all the people touting the number of tourists that we've had so far and the number of tourists expected before the end of the fiscal year, so much so that they're going to meet this surplus that they envision, right? You would think that Ministry of Tourism policies would prompt the Ministry of Works to produce more signs. Like, you have a whole policy that expanded access to self-drive vehicles for tourists. You'd think that there would be mention in the budget for road signage. Then there's the Ministry of Transport, where the left on red policy law emanates from. You would think that that would prompt a massive line item in the budget for signage, road signage specifically. Yet I saw nothing. Like I said, this article references the police. Government announces plan to buy 40 fire trucks in new budget. That's Royal Bahamas Police Force. Ministry of National Security. Right? Producer, let's prep the caller. Then we have Beaches and Parks exceeds 2025-2026 budget. We're going to get into that separately. Ombudsman probe commission get low funding in new budget. Pintard government surplus prediction ignores existing bills, government outlines tax breaks in budget. Yet nothing in any of these articles indicate that road signage has been prioritized. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Aaron, when last have you passed around about by COB or UB?
Every day.
You see how filthy that is?
Yeah.
Could you please reach out to whomever is responsible for cleaning the roundabouts.
Mm-hmm.
It is filthy. They have all the, you know, after election, You went there, you put your signs there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remove your signs. You put your signs there when it was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Remove the signs. Mm-hmm. And it's still filthy.
And
could you please ask someone to clean up that roundabout?
And let the inspectors know who we expect to go and do their jobs at the legally required date, the date required for removal of all signs. When they go, tell them they could also inspect the non-political signs as well that have been put up haphazardly and that actually create road hazards by blocking drivers across the roundabout.
One more thing.
Yes, ma'am. Go
you
on.
Know they pave. You know they've been paving the roads before election, right?
Yeah.
Tell them please put the divider, the white line,
mm-hmm.
the solid white line.
Mm-hmm.
None is on Bay Street
yeah.
where they did the paving.
And that's been
not
years.
Even the side corner.
That's been years. They would be looking at 2.5 years now.
Are man, they... these people are so jokey. They ain't serious. You know, tell them they need to clean up the entire Nassau. I'm a public service driver.
Yes, ma'am.
And the place is filthy. Okay.
Absolutely.
There's too much garbage.
No, absolutely, ma'am. You are not incorrect at all. Here's the next thing. There's not enough bins, right? Like, we got an employment issue. We got people looking for work. And the key, right, like, I don't expect the government to give somebody a packet and then all of a sudden they could afford a $700,000 mortgage, right? But the government can create opportunities for people to gain economic agency through part-time work so they could begin to culturally shift the way they approach the world. And then once they have the confidence, they could start seeking more gainful or long-term employment. Why don't we have, like, Brent Simonette had a community part-time, is like a cleanup team, right? And he'd stipend... Yeah. People in the area who were not working or underemployed to clean the verges, maintain the empty lots, ensure that the lights, you know, identify the lights that they could clear themselves or that require BPL to come in and clear them. Why aren't constituency offices engaging private sector partners to provide temporary employment so that people could be working constantly and also gaining economic agency?
One more thing.
Yes, ma'am, go on.
Who's responsible for the dead dogs when they get knocked down? Who is responsible for moving them?
I know that there's a government agency that has to be responsible because they constitute a public health risk, right? I gotta figure out exactly who it is, though.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Driving on the airport road.
Mm-hmm.
And a dog probably got knocked down overnight, right?
Yeah.
The guest has been there maybe for 4 or 5 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're returning those guests to the airport.
And the dog's still there.
And you, the visitors are asking me, the dog is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people are, you know, animal advocates.
Yeah.
Just the third time we've been to Bahamas and we see dogs and cats all over the street. Who's responsible? You know how embarrassing that is, right?
Oh, yes. Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
So, if you say you're progressing, do something about it, man. Clean up this dirty, filthy Nassau. All over, all of the roundabouts should be taken care of.
Absolutely.
Rebuild you're building sidewalks, fix the perimeter of the roundabouts. Then clean them up.
Yeah. Don't just throw paint on it.
Our money, man.
Thank you, ma'am.
Let them do their jobs.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. They must know that they got to put the lines in the road. The people, your people, you know how they drive? Oh, ain't no line there. What you talking about, miss? What you mean? I was in your lane on top of your car. Ain't no line in the road. Somebody said that to me. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning.
I'm kind of depressed this morning, really and truly. It's about the airwaves and the machinery and... There's only certain people I can count on to have real conversations that really, really matters. Firstly, I like to thank that lady caller. You know, I love her. I like what she said. And so that's some real and glorious BS. I'm sick and tired of this. Listen, man, this place is 7x21, so it should be easy to upkeep, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need real conversations about the experiment that I was talking about in which a place is confined to a certain space, 21x7, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need someone from the Ministry of Health, Environment, et cetera, whoever portfolio prerogative. You know, I'm just tired. Come on the radio and explain to me, when will there be a moratorium on development because there's no green space in Nassau, and we can see it because the people are living in it, and they're acting like it. So I don't want to cancel the word on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the garbage, right? And it's inundated, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere. And so perhaps, just perhaps, maybe the geniuses could implement a fine for people who didn't remove the posters or the billboards and the F&M paraphernalia, the PMP paraphernalia, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I wish it'll be a better world if we all remain mum, where even if an untruth is told on the radio, right, Ms. Green?
Mm-hmm.
And you call and factually, you know, with the implement, but we have the AI, we have the phone in our hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you make something that I consider before as advertisement, you don't embarrass exposing the truth. I urge people to attack me factually when they call. Even whoever it is, even if it's a pundit, a world without that is dictatorial. You have to be able to question people because nobody knows what's in your brains.
Yeah.
You just can't be mum and dumb. And so it's frightening for me in a world where I could understand a certain degree of an unfreedom of the press, but the unfreedom of the press leaves must to be addressed. When the country's in a mess. No one behests. So what I'm saying is, when somebody says something that is true, give them credence, and that's the only way to move on. Otherwise, we are just using the media as a machinery so they can think, so they want us to think what they want us to think because they only can give us what they want to give us. That's not democracy, and I'm sickened by it. And so, you know, like I said, we have eyes to see. I don't go by words what politicians say. Right now, I'm sitting thinking the only way I can really get a peace of mind is to go to Exuma, go Cat Island somewhere, and light up a joint and look at the beach.
No, you can't say that out loud, man. I mean, by the responsible thing is to remind the public that consumption of cannabis is prohibited by law unless you possess a license from the state to consume it. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, and the great 52.
Yes, sir.
You know, Aaron, I just want to echo the same sentiments of that young lady, you know, because I had called the Human Society, but they said that I thought it would have been them who would be responsible for the removal of these animals who have been hit and end up dying on the streets. But they said, no, it isn't them.
Because, so, well, first of all, they're not a state agency. That's right. Like, they're not a state agency. I would start at animal control.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. But I mean, but then the point that I'm trying to make is we are up in age and we still don't know which department or ministry is responsible for these removals. Because mm-hmm. they decay and they just rot right on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You see it over and over and over and over and over again. But my thing is, Aaron, $141 million was spent to clean up this. I mean, maybe all of the Bahamas, but let's say a big chunk of it went into New Providence, right? If I were chairman of Beaches and Park, right, before I spend $1, the government would have had to open up at least 4 environmental courts.
Mm-hmm.
They spend $141 million, and some are saying they can go as high as $200 million. But yet, the country is still filthy. Why? Because we don't have no enforcement of our environmental laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stupid. I mean, who builds a country like this? We waste our money. We're going to have to pay it back. Generations yet unborn will have to pay this money back.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is still filthy.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We have no enforcement, no agency. People can walk the street, eating breakfast. I see it as far as they drive. I commute the boat. They drive and they throw their breakfast plate right off the ground.
Yep. Without
and,
a doubt.
I mean, but no one in government is smart enough to open up, to address this, to take a better responsibility for people's money.
Listen,
yeah.
let's broaden the critique for a second. Over the last, let's just say over this administration, right? Let's just call it over this administration. We have seen the implementation or expansion of environmental levies, the cruise industry, aviation, right? Some of it may have even started in the previous administration. So you obviously have an environmental regime because you have an environmental tax regime, right? Where you pull in tax. I mean, and then it struck me when the Tourism Development Corporation in the bill, when they say they, in that conversation, they said they wanted a tourism consolidated fund, like a fund separate from the main consolidated fund, so that they could put all of the revenue derived from tourism or tourism interests in that separate fund, right? But the environmental levies, of a significant portion of them, are attached to tourism through cruise entry and exit and air flight entry and exit, right? And so you have this regime, but it suggests to me that you didn't really think it through. You were really looking at ways that you could extract more revenue from the space, because how you could have this expanse of environmental levy, but you didn't think about an environmental court.
I mean, Aaron, it just behooves me. But then, Aaron, just want one more note. One more point I want to make.
Yes, right? Sir.
I was listening to, and this is how they reported. They said that the COI and the FNM is calling on Michael Halkidis to do the honorable thing and resign. Right.
Mm-hmm.
For face value, it sounds good, but I can't believe the FNM, a big machinery like the FNM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of their ineptitude, they have allowed the COI to surpass them in four or five constituencies. They beat them in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here it is now. This the irony about this whole thing is this. Lincoln Bain had a court case going on now for over 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm. I think
that's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, this man is also has been accused of committing perjury. But he ran an entire election without doing the honorable thing, what he is asking Halkidis to do, you know, to resign.
Mm-hmm.
To resign as opposed to contaminating the institution.
I want to know what Westminster system they talking about. That's what I want to know. What Westminster system you say you want to be in charge of?
Yeah, but then the thing about this, Aaron, I mean, not one reporter. The reporter should have asked one simple question. Why didn't you resign? He didn't resign. He has a perjury case before the court. He has a financial matter before the court. But he contaminated the group, stayed there, remained on, never resigned, but now you're calling on someone else to resign. I mean,
now,
I agree with the message, you know.
The message is
Halkidis should resign. But who is calling? I mean, then you have someone on the side of you. It's like me committing murder, Aaron, I go on the run. Someone else molests a child, they go on the run. But I call for my safe hiding spot and asking that person who molests the child to turn themselves in. How stupid. I mean, that's the same scenario.
You know,
I hear you.
And let's be careful. The perjury, I'm not certain the status of the accusation of perjury, right? I'm not certain of the status
of
that.
The paper.
I know the story was reported in the paper that it was alleged, right, that he was accused of, but I don't know the status. I just personally right now, I just say let's be careful. But on another note, right, with the thing you said just now, you know that thing about the pot calling the kettle black?
Yes.
And we say it means the pot can't call the kettle black because the two of them is the same black?
Right, but that's why the FNM found themselves in that awkward position.
I know, but hold on. Using your example, the truth is when you fully examine that adage or idiom or what exact axiom what it is we didn't get the fullness of it. The real interpretation of that, what it really means, is one is actually blacker than the other, right? I'm trying to see if it's the pot that's on the stove, temporarily, or it's the kettle that sits on the stove all the time. But the point is, we've been reading that the wrong way. Because I could tell you, both of them should present themselves to the court. But if the murderer say, you see the child molester? Go get them now. I'd be like, maybe you do have to triage. Maybe you do have to triage. But I take your point. I think it's an important point, right? Like, do you diminish your own credibility and the credibility of your party, the institution, by being so reckless in your speech? Because you got to start it off with say, hey, I's a sinner too, you know. That's how you got to start off every statement.
That's what you should do it, or step down and show Halkidis how to do it.
I got you. Listen, I got a couple more calls and a slew of texts I got to get through. I want to say thank you very much for the contribution, Mr. Duncombe. Let's go to the next caller quickly, and then we get to the text line. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, man. One point, one thing you all missed is that, you know, when it relates to that scenario, is that the minister happens to be the minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, representing the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and the Bahamas government.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the scenario and Lincoln Bain scenario happens to be something to do with a personal.
Right. While he is while he is politically exposed,
right,
he is not a member of the government. I got
right.
you.
So, I mean, while all cases need to be answered, right? Because you know, this country, when we love to play the tit for tat game, and in this country, you know, either if somebody is doing something bad, it shouldn't be no need for no justification once it's concluded that it's something wrong and harmful or detrimental to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
And cousin, here's what the best thing is, that with the Westminster system, which is the system of governance we operate under, you don't even need proof. With the mayor appearance.
Correct.
With the mayor appearance of potential conflict, not even wrongdoing, conflict,
right.
One should do the honorable thing and resign.
Yeah, and that's the only way the Bahamas move on, when we have leaders who are determined to abide by the law, especially the law that governs the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I got you. I got you. Yes, sir.
Have a nice day, Monterey.
You too. Okay. You too. All right, let's go to the text line. We start at the top. I agree with Cleaver and what he said about Bain. Bain said it was him whom insisted the dead be raised to 90. Incredible. Here's another text. They said the COI, not Lincoln Bain. The COI is an organization, not one person. Yeah, but that's the risk that you run as a political leader when your brand is bigger than your party. At the same time, let me stick a pin and say, Mr. Bain, see, in this instance, though, we could say, because you're not the minister, right? The difference is, in these two scenarios, is you're not the minister. I just want to see it work. The thing does work fairly. And the text goes on, we are not asking for the PLP to resign. We are asking for the Minister of Finance to resign. Good morning, caller.
Yeah.
Good
Mr.
morning.
Bain?
Yes, sir.
How you do this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
There, allow me. I'm still trying to hear from Papa, my blind friend and all of it. My blind friend like myself. I'm hoping that he's okay. But there's another gentleman now that I have been hearing from a lot now. The gentleman, he's supposed to run as an independent in Garden Hills. I had a lot of people in Garden Hills that they were going to support him.
Kareem Hanchel.
And then I hear he was endorsing Rick Fox.
Yeah.
But I ain't hear with him no more. So I don't know. I mean, just want to know if they're okay. But this thing with Dirty Island, this island just ain't became dirty 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This island was dirty for years. Ms. Green, if you are eating a chicken snack in your car,
mm-hmm.
and you rest that bag on the ground until you reach the garbage bin, there's no way in the world that bag could jump with your car in the road. You have to throw it on the road if that gets in the road.
Now, technically, sometimes the wind be spicy, but the point is you're still responsible for securing it.
If that bag is on the ground in your car, and the breeze blow that up and throw that, oh, you better scrub your windows because you can get blown next.
Right. It could happen, but the responsibility is still on the driver to contain, right? Anything inside your car must stay inside your car. Same thing with the trucks.
I got to let you go. I had an uncle, Leander Ferguson, my mom's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little garbage bag in his car, and you dare to throw away a blow pop.
Get cussed.
Sticker.
Beaten.
You know the stick with his hole to blow pop with your son.
Yeah.
You dare to throw that out of his car.
He can stop and make you go.
Every time he reached a spot, or when he reached home, he would empty the little. It's a nice little plastic thing he got the poultry people to make.
Mm-hmm.
And he hook on his cigarette thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the garbage going out.
Yeah. And it's so simple.
We don't teach it. The children saying the mother throw the bag or the car. Symbol is a cover when they open the bell, which they don't supposed to have in the car while they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
They throw the cover out. So the children say, "Mom, they're trying to come out. I can throw my Capri
Sun out too.
Take out when I
my
finish.
Little straw, whatever. The little plastic off the straw, anything.
Listen to me. Children learn better by what they see than what they hear.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, and if imagine them seeing their mother running the red light. Now, the children know red means stop, you know.
I know.
They're teaching that from primary school.
Absolutely.
From preschool.
We're creating a cognitive dissonance in our children that can cause them to experience psychosis.
Not a lot of people make things believe like these things have happened to the last
Uncle, thank you. Let me talk about it. Beaches and Parks exceeds 2025-2026 budget. That was in yesterday's Nassau Guardian. I hope you got a copy. I'm going to read from in the article. The figures show that between July 2021 and March 2026, the Bahamas Public Parks and Beaches Authority spent $147.6 million. That's up to March 2026. Because that's all the reporting that's available. It was reported that between July 1st, 2021 and December 2025, the authority, during the period that Davis was prime minister, spent $141 million. That figure did not account for several months of financial reporting, which were included in the new 2026-2027 budget book. But I just want to read this line here before we go back to the phone line. The Davis administration accused the last FNM government of using the authority as a, quote, slush fund, close quotes. That's what Davis then accused the FNM of doing. And this is what Barnaby has to say, quote, now the fact of the matter is where there is a lot to be desired. Let me repeat that from the beginning. Quote, now, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot to be desired. But it's not something that happened overnight, close quotes, he said. Quote, some of the parks have not been well maintained for the last 10 to 20 years. Why you didn't identify them and prioritize them on a list at the beginning of your tenureship, sir? Anyway, let's go back. Some of the parks we were able to maintain right away. Some of the parks, it's actually a work in progress. So we want to address it as soon as possible. But the capital expense alone, if we were to tackle all of that cost, the cost would be even more than what you're seeing today. And this is why I'm saying the fact of the matter is parks and beaches is huge. It's underestimated, but it's huge. I just want to say, what is okay, is the PLP the only entity that has a school that turns sensible individuals into old man preachers overnight? I know the FNM had one because Travis Robinson became an old man preacher as soon as he passed the post. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Get a pencil handy, write this down. G-I-S-H, Gish Gallop, G-A-L-L-O-P of governance.
Say it again.
G-I-S-H.
Uh-huh.
G-A-L-L-O-P of governance. It involves never answering the central question, avoiding the main issue, and preventing the public from examining any failure long enough for them to demand accountability.
Now, I didn't, when I use the word obfuscate, some of my listeners reach out to me and say, that's a big word, Ms. Green. But it ain't as big as what you said just now, even though it means the same thing.
Right. But these are political strategies. Just like what the government is doing now is called fire hosing. This is even more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It revolves a high-volume, multi-channel, rapid and continuous messaging that lacks any commitment to objective reality or consistency, and it was meant to overload the mind or to drown out accountability, is postponed. Citizens become too fatigued to distinguish fact from their performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
hold on, let me just say, that's why I took so much time out of the shows to ask my audience if they, like me, were demanding the rationale for such a quick election. Because the poor performance of the Parliamentary Registration Department evidenced that they required far more time. Time that was actually available to the state. Go on, sir.
Rich, it is. But see, because what happens is, I want to get to your budget question, but let me explain to you what happens. And this is where Cleaver Duncombe has a point. Is that Lincoln Bean has worked in part of this fire hosing and these mm-hmm. type of reverse gaslighting and everything. The Bahamas has become an ideal, and the media, specifically the media word, is the managing of words and messaging, is be able to differentiate one from the from reality, from propaganda, from the truth, you know, and facts. And so what has happened is, though, that the media has allowed, like, the Coalition of Independents to exist, where they promoted that you can win the lottery without ever buying a ticket. And then when you say Hillary Clinton's hand, you know, Hillary the man must come with equity.
Yeah,
and so when you talk about the court system, the court declared that this this individual that led the party did not have credibility. This is the court does, which was held up all the way to the Supreme Court. So it isn't like somebody making an accusation to someone. This is, you know, if you don't believe in our justice system, then let's throw it all away. But let's go to the budget, to the budget point.
And quickly, Greg, another caller.
No, quickly, right.
25 points.
Question is, what is really is that citizens of the Bahamas have moved into a period of insanity. We have been driven mad in this cave. So instead of moving out of the cave, we have dug deeper in. And here's the point. You are demanding accountability where there's no reference point. For instance, we have the government say we're going to do these clinics and stuff. Does anybody know the true amount of work that has to be done to all the clinics? Does anyone know the true amount of work that has to be done to all of the schools, all of the roads, and everything that we have to do, the true amount of bills to be paid? So any figure they give you that is big enough, they can say, we're going to spend $1 billion on roads.
See, Alan, let me ask you a question. I got to go, but I think people have gotten your point. Here's a question I want to ask you. Do you know if the Ministry of Works, or when it's the Ministry of Housing, whichever entity is responsible for the construction of an entity, do they assign an officer to walk with the contractor every day through the process of building?
No.
Well, then, like, who gonna know what? Right? Like, but ain't nobody gonna know what. The contractor could do whatever he want to do when nobody's on the job.
That's what's been happening. But this is what's been happening with governance, too. We've been telling us we can do all these wonderful things. We have no reference point to find out, are you doing 10% of what needs to be done?
Yeah.
That's our problem.
I got you. I very much. I got you. I'm excited. But I got so much other callers, C. Allen. I got to transition to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi.
This could be quick.
Yeah, man.
Right, I had to call you back about the cleaning thing, right? Because what I realized, right? The persons who just cut the area around by me, right? The voyages, right? I noticed that they only just cut and go, right? You have 2-3 fellas, they come with walkers.
Yeah.
And they cut everything down, right? All of the old can, the old paper would get blow from when the garbage.
They don't collect nothing.
When the garbage people them empty out the garbage, right, and whatever drop from when they empty out the garbage, that stays on the ground, and then that get blow across the road into the bush to see where just where these fellas just have to come and cut. And when they come and cut, it looks so terrible now because it all of the garbage is in the road, and the cars have to come and blow them back.
And they get blown right back into the bush, onto
right
the side of the road.
The bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a lack of oversight. And I think it's about a poor allocation of human resources. And they vest in, or they allow the perception for subcontractors that they have some sort of authority vested in them, that they get to decide how the job gets done. There needs to be a standard.
A standard.
Listen, and it's not just
at least a rake, a blower.
Yeah.
A bag to pick up some garbage so that you could move some of the
garbage. Can of spray paint so you could put the code on it so that Ministry of Works or whoever's environmental health, whoever's responsible for picking up the organic trash collected by beaches and parks and the various agencies can clearly say, oh, that's one of our bags to grab
right
that.
There. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are not thinking things through. And I think really it's at a management level, right? Because, yeah, you can say, well, your boy could see the garbage. He could decide to go buy the garbage bags and do it. But with what money? With what money? I get big, rich neighbors that don't buy black garbage bags to put the garbage in.
Garbage in. Wow.
Right? So let's not act like it's, you know, and I'm not saying you doing this at all. But many people will say, the worker should do something. No. The worker is contracted to do a job, and he is resourced by his employer with the tools that is that are required to do the job. The employer, and then the subcontractor who gets the contract needs to go back to the person who gave them the contract and say, "Listen, I cannot cover all of the costs required with the fund with whatever I'm being given. You need to either allocate funding for the regular purchasing of black the proper garbage bags. You need to open up a line of credit or access to whatever government agency gives government workers the garbage bags, but ensure that every team has bags to pick up the trash and waste."
And this impact system, right? They should stop allowing these persons to get their funds if they're not expecting to work after the,
absolutely,
you know, they didn't do the work. Because, you know, these people don't deserve to get paid because, you know, just cut and go. It don't make no sense. It's cheaper just let the grass grow up so you can't see the garbage inside it.
Inside the bush. I want to say thank you very much. And I'd like to have a word with the person that allowed Beaches and Parks staff, right, the people who are contracted to do the work, to believe that their job did not involve removing trash from the public spaces. You know? We got more to talk about, but we may spend the end of this show just going through the text. Call us if you could hold the line, hold the line. We're going to a break. This is On the Clock with Erin Green, Guardian 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I was a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds. And leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Oh, yeah! All right. My beautiful eyes.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Okay, I got a few minutes left and I got to speed through some things. Like the driver yesterday on Peck Slope. Y'all don't believe me sometimes. I know y'all don't believe me sometimes. I ran the risk of taking my phone out of my back pocket and documenting what I observed as I was on Market Street waiting to cross over Shirley Street to go to Peck Slope. What I observed was a car pointed towards me. Why is that scary? Because Peck Slope is a one-way road and it heads south from Shirley Street to East Hill Street. East Hill Street, the one right there by Government House. This car then decided that they were going to drive down and make a 5-point U-turn to go down Market Street. I guess they didn't know that they could actually enter Market Street from East Hill Street. Perhaps they didn't know. Maybe it's because there are no signs. But I don't think that's what it was. I am very scared to drive on the road with some of y'all. And some of y'all are police. I'm very, very scared to drive on the road with y'all. Also, I wanted to, you can't go past without saying, mentioning this from the article, government outlines tax breaks in budget. One of the things that C. Allen Johnson talked about was understanding the language being used. So here we go. As it relates, are we reading from government outlines, tax breaks in budget, yesterday's Guardian. As it relates to customs duty, Halkidis noted plans to reduce rates on human hair. First of all, when they say they have plans to, they did not make a commitment. Listen, they plan to, don't mean that they are actually going to. I see you insisted on calling caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You turn down your radio, please, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right, here we go. We go back to the article. They plan to reduce rates on human hair and wigs to benefit patients with cancer, alopecia, and similar conditions. I don't know. I don't know about that one. It's not that I'm saying that people with uncontrollable hair loss issues don't deserve accessibility efforts, but there's a better way to do it, I think. He also noted duty reductions for common household plastic items. I don't understand what's happening there. Aren't we on a plastic ban wipe? We need rationale for that, please. It says these measures are targeted, practical, and designed to deliver real and meaningful relief to Bahamian households. What about the environment and the plastic ban? But this is the one. He also noted plans to eliminate registration fees for non-motorized bicycles. You mean like how the people don't license their bike now and then y'all don't enforce the law on them and then I got to drive in the road like they're a licensed road user and then but I can take the brunt of the liability if something happens? But it's more important than that. There was a time when a friend of mine attempted to import 4 electric bikes for him and his other 3 other family members. And he was told that the importation of these bikes by private citizens is restricted. He was not allowed to import them. And then we saw the little green scooters popping up with no helmet, right? And no signs clearly explaining what's expected of those road users. And they'd be all in the road like they licensed road users. He also noted plans to eliminate registration fees for non-motorized bicycles, as well as modernize the regulatory framework for electric bicycles to ensure proper registration is simple and accessible to encourage safe and efficient means to transportation. So you telling me you allowed whoever it was to set up their little electric bike tourist industry, and now maybe we could bring in electric bikes for ourselves? And anything in the budget about road signage to remind these road users exactly where they're supposed to be, because technically they're not supposed to be in the road, and also technically they're not supposed to be on the sidewalk either? Any mention of that in the budget? I bet you know. Let's go to the text line to end this show quickly. What dry looking for over the hill, Aaron? Halkidis just threw someone in the former Christie administration. Who's that cabinet minister was responsible for giving top-notch bill? That's up me. Progress around the mulberry bush. We go into September 2021. I think they meant 3031. Good morning, Aaron. I feel worse than 52 this morning. Came outside and the cat lying on the side of the street is dead. Call animal control and ask them with exactly which agency you're supposed to call if you cannot dispose of it yourself. Ministry of Health is responsible for roadkill. Call Ministry of Health. Good morning. The cleanliness of the Bahamas is a shared responsibility between the government and its citizens. It's also a learned behavior. Yeah, you're right. But the largest entity in the country, the government, has the greatest capacity to shift culture, and they could begin that by actually installing garbage cans where you know they're needed. They should try that once, maybe. Maybe. But what we're seeing at beaches and parks suggests that the problem lies at the top of the hierarchy and not the bottom of the hierarchy at this time. Here we go. Ms. Green, do you feel Tourist can Development Corp can be another slush fund? They all have the capacity to be slush funds if we are not following the proper laws. So when we get back together, we're going to read from this article, Pintard Government Surplus Prediction, during existing bills. Our lives are slush funds on the plantation, where plantation model economic systems and political systems prevail. We have become the collateral damage that maintains the vibrancy, efficacy, and success of these islands. It is a plantation, and our lives are mere fodder for the enjoyment and advancement of the political class. You guys have a good day, because the next holiday coming up is Labor Day, and then we got real things to talk about. But you hear what Nita say? The sweetest song ever, you guys. Today, we celebrating life. Not just the life of Anita Rule, but all the great Bahamians who have passed on before us, contributed to this country. Everybody. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.